And I will tell you what I have been watching, Norris the Terrible. Well, first off, we could not line up our schedules this week, so sadly, Mac cannot join for a full episode of Mac and Goo, but instead, I'll be doing a little Christmas bonus, if you will, and that is with Jason D. Rossi of the PCP podcast, or yes, is the final P a podcast? Pop Culture
Pile Driver.
I wasn't sure if it was like an ATM situation.
No, we're not. We don't put the machine as part of the trans, you know, how you get your money, whatever. I'm not going to try to use my brain throughout this podcast, so I'll be a little bit like Mac. But yeah, I feel bad for the listener, but I feel good that I'm available.
But I think that you are in for something special because I recently rewatched, and I think for the first time since 1996, I sat and watched this entire movie from tip to tail because I have seen bits and pieces over the years, mainly that final half an hour, which is just batshit crazy, but Jingle All the Way, a movie that I saw in theaters. I saw with my father and my two siblings. My father fell asleep in the theater, and I'm surprised because a lot of this movie, I feel like, is stuff that either him or my mother would have to go through to buy us gifts on Christmas.
I have a few questions here. I'm not going to be disrespectful to your dad, so I'll avoid that. I'm going to first ask, have you ever fallen asleep in a movie theater?
Yeah, and all the time.
All the time?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, last time. Like, name me like three. Like,
I'm a sleepy boy.
Me too, but
there are times when, so like, we'll see a Marvel movie like the first time, and then the second time we'll go to it in like a midnight showing, and I'll kind of nod off.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to lie. I saw a live comedy show, a stand-up comedian, Ronnie Chang, who's actually super funny. Oh. He's a really good stand-up. But I was really, really tired, and I was falling asleep.
They love that, I hear.
Dana was like knocking me on the shoulder, being like, get up, stop it. And actually, speaking of Dana, so my wife, had never seen this movie. And she's not from this country. I ordered her. So she said to me, wait a second, in the 90s, did this actually happen in malls? And I had to tell her that, yeah, in the 80s and the 90s, that was like regular every holiday season.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about like just the madness for a gift?
The madness for a gift. And it's always that hot toy, Tickle Me Elmo, Power Rangers, Cabbage Patch.
It's great that you bring up some of the actual toys because that's the one thing about this film. Being in 1996, we were much younger. I'm a little older than you, but still like the perspective of this 25 years later, like my dad is, he didn't fall asleep in the theater of this film. Not that, you know, give him any credit here, but he used to remind me, like when we saw this movie, he's like, I lived that. Like, and I forget what he specific. I think there was like either a video game or I'm a huge wrestling fan. It might have been a WWF action figure at the time, but he remembers like Toys R Us, 6 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't on Christmas. I mean, it wasn't on Black Friday. I don't even know how long Black Friday's been a thing, but it was like random days. And this movie takes place on freaking Christmas Eve.
I said, so my mother might have been on Black Friday, but it was definitely not Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is a whole new thing. And then also, what kind of a town has a parade on Christmas Eve?
Just, and not just like your rinky-dink, a couple cars driving through with Santa. We're talking like ticker day parade.
This
We're talking
parade
Thanksgiving.
Has to be sponsored by the Turbo Team, right?
Oh, absolutely. Or whoever's behind the Turbo Team, you know, run, don't walk, or walk, don't run. But that blows my mind. Like, I didn't get to, I haven't watched it this season. I watched it last year when we were a part of the DSG full top 25. And because I think this movie is like outstanding. It's such a watchable,
I'm right there with you.
Film.
I'm right there with you now.
Get on board.
Hey.
It's moving up the rankings as we speak right now.
I disrespected it so much in the Mac and Goofy Vault, and then last year in the Dork Top 25. And once again, it's from seeing bits and pieces, and it really is just watching that final half hour. But the first 66% of this movie is holiday fun. And I would argue up there, definitely not with like a Home Alone or an Elf or Christmas Vacation, like not up there with like the top five or six, but it's better than a lot of stuff.
It's better than most things I think people think they like. Like, I don't want to get into this argument because that's not what I'm here for, but like, It's a Wonderful Life kind of blows. Like, and it's a slog of a film. It's a slog. It's hard. It's depressing.
Yes.
This is everything that isn't, but people are going to talk about It's a Wonderful Life like it's the best, or Miracle on 34th Street, or the, like, you know, White Christmas. All those are garbage. This is fun. Those movies are tough.
I'm so glad that you brought this up because Mac and I were going to do a Christmas questionnaire. And one of them was, what movies do you think are overrated / like, what are you never going to watch again? And I was going to say, like, I'm never going to show my son anything made before like 1970, 1980. I don't give a shit.
That's such a, like, of all the things me and my wife have talked about, or, sorry, my wife, when in Rome, we've talked about certain movies, and I've said like certain, like, was my dad, like, It's a Wonderful Life is like that passed down generation. And I've told him, like, I think it was 2 years ago. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not watching this. It's depressing. And it's, I feel like it's 5 hours long. It's like the Rosemary's Baby of holiday movies. And it's not very holiday. There's like a couple jingle bells.
Like, the pacing in that is slow. And we're not saying that the pacing in Jingle All the Way is good, but it's in your face. It's fast. It's nonstop. And even when it slows down just for a little second, it's Arnold yelling at his son on the phone.
Belligerently.
Yes. And what I also love about this, and this is once again in the parade, my favorite part of the entire parade scene, is just no one knows that it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, Howard. He's not wearing a mask. He has a see-through visor on. He is a giant Austrian man speaking with an Austrian accent. And his family, who was supposed to know and love him, are like blown away to see that it's Arnie.
This man, and isn't he has the most ridiculous? I'm trying to remember. He has a ridiculous job.
That's okay. He's like, no, his job is so indescript. He is a salesman of some sort. They don't tell us what it is, but he calls all of his clients on the 23rd, so Festivus, telling them that they are his number one customer. He calls all of them.
Ever.
Same line. Like, what do you sell? I assume...
condoms. I think it's a condom.
I think it's fitness equipment, but that's just because he's so big that you would buy something from him, but I don't know what it is.
He's steroids? I don't know. But either way, yeah, that's like a whole subplot of the film that always makes me laugh throughout this, but I still think, like... obviously, we keep hitting on the parade. It's definitely, like you said, it gets wild. But this movie really starts off kind of like relatable. Like, I think the first, I can't remember, like maybe 20 minutes, you're like, oh, I get this plot, like going after the toy. This is difficult. Having a kind of a dink neighbor and fighting against another person who's also looking for it. Then it just gets bonkers.
It's the first half an hour. The first half an hour is you meet Howard, which, by the way, cast Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sinbad, Phil Hartman, Rita Wilson, Robert Conrad, who plays the cop, shows up 5 or 6 times, is a cartoon character every single time. Martin Mull is the radio DJ in this, Jake Lloyd, and then Jim Belushi. Now, Jim Belushi is the breaking point of this movie because you said the first 20 or so minutes is relatable stuff, family life, all that. It is when he shows up at the 28-minute mark and you go to the Santa convention or the Santa warehouse where they have the bootleg toys. That's when things start to go off the rails.
I believe Vern Troyer's in this film, by the way. I think he plays...
He's not the main one because the main...
No.
The main one is Mickey from Seinfeld.
Correct. I think he plays the one that's like jumps on Arnold's like head when like... I don't know. It wasn't a wrestler, but it's some jacked up guy who plays the real beefy, like super shredder version of Santa.
That Arnold gives a big old punch to, and he's like, "What's up, bro?"
Yeah, he's like, huh. Blows it off.
Yeah,
I'm your best client, steroids. But yes, that's where it just gets like really weird. And yeah, like the whole. I love that scene, by the way, when he gets the Turbo Man. And as like a kid, I remember this scene because I was like, "Oh," because as a kid, you're not thinking about length of film or anything. And I remember watching this, and when he gets that Turbo Man, I'm like, oh, cool, he scored it. Like,
movie's over.
Way to go.
Neat.
And I'm not thinking, not thinking of a plot. And then when it falls apart, and he just goes, hey, some assembly required. First of all, great line. Yep. Good delivery by Belushi. Yeah, but then it's just silly.
Oh, like, I want to give flowers to Belushi. And then also, one person that is in one scene of the movie, and that is a young Chris Parnell, who absolutely crushes it in this small role of he works in a toy store. And he's like, hey, do you have any Turbo Men? And he's like, hey, Arnie, you hear about this? This guy's asking for some Turbo Men. He keeps on doing that face over and over again.
I need you to, you would probably know better than I. Was he on SNL at this point? I
think No, this was 96. Three. So I think he joined in like 97, 98. I think it's just before.
So that's pretty impressive, like that he had, like, I know it's small role, and I kind of love finding these things, especially with comedians, because even like throughout all film, like you'll see like a role from what, fill in the blank comedian, like play like a such a minor role in some B movie like this. But yeah, he's great in that, and it's also that that's such a great scene where like they basically like bust down the doors into this toy store and they don't have the thing they're looking for, or like the final one just left, and it's when he chases that woman in the car and he does the most ridiculous overacting. He's all trying to stop somebody. Like, how do you actually stop somebody that they're in front of you driving, like to get their attention?
Well, that's always like the follow that visual. Car and you hop into like a cab.
Yeah.
What's the cab driver going to do?
I've always wondered that. Thank you for bringing that up. I've said that before. I was like, if you jump in a cab, does the cab driver have any reason to go fast after a car at all?
No, I go one speed. That's what, that's yeah. All you can really say. So we do meet Phil Hartman, his character Ted, at the karate that Arnie misses. And then Jake Lloyd's like, ah, oh, Dad, why'd you do that? And in the bedroom, by the way, Jake Lloyd's bedroom is lit. He has the biggest, brightest mural to Captain America on his wall. And he seems jealous. To have all this like Marvel shit around. And he's like, no, I want that Turbo Man.
Oh, because Marvel was so yesterday. It's 1996. We're moving past it. Comic books are out. Give me this Turbo Man, dude. Which, by the way, I'm surprised that like Turbo Man didn't catch on. I know this movie wasn't huge, but it did well in the box.
It did pretty well.
And I'm sure, I think there was toys released, if I recall. But like, this didn't have any, like, there's well, in, like now in the world.
They're actually in, like, selling them now at Walmart.
But like, I'm sure it's not like hard to find or super expensive. My point is like,
$35 where, like, actually. I just saw it when I was looking up to go to the IMDb. It's $35.
How tall? Is it a full like 12 inch or what are we looking at?
So my assumption, either 7 or 12, somewhere around there. Definitely not a 16. 16 is a bit too big. But either way, Phil Hartman, divorced dad, out on the prowl, and seems to be banging all the moms in the neighborhood.
Yeah, smart move, by the way. Listen, if you're going to be divorced, single dad, get into those burbs.
How would you feel if you came home one night after missing your son's karate and you see that your neighbor is stringing lights on your house?
Part of me, like, I think I'd be mad in the moment, wake up the next day, like, well, I don't have to do it.
Be like,
but,
oh.
Like, in that moment, like, I am rip. I am, nobody touches my lights. Nobody does anything. But yeah, I think the next day, I'd be like, thanks, dude. Like, that was awesome.
What do you think about Jake Lloyd in this movie?
Stinks.
Yeah, he's not good.
No,
he's not
me
good.
And this week, obviously, you mentioned earlier, we did a Home Alone kind of review. Yeah. And like Macaulay Culkin is like, there's a gold standard. Like, he's above that. Like, he's probably the best. I think I said this, like, for a starring role, the movie's about the kid. He's the best child actor I've ever watched.
Yes.
This is the polar opposite. And he's not a star. He's only in, I don't know, you probably have time notes here, but like, he's not in a ton of the movie. But when he's there, you're just like, we got him. Like, being an adult watching this now and being a critic like we are. Like, it's like, this guy kind of stinks.
He's not good. And I want to give complete credit. You just mentioned Macaulay Culkin. So recently, while watching the new Home Alone movie, Home Sweet Home Alone, the burglars are fine in it. The story is fine in it. Everything is fine in it. What is missing, very simple, is the charisma of a 10-year-old Macaulay Culkin.
Not easy to find. I don't think it's ever
almost
been replicated.
Impossible.
Yeah. Very few films that I can really... You know, it's definitely off the top of my head, but even if I sat down and did the research, like, how many great child actors, but like, really, really
it
strong.
Isn't
I'm talking
even,
great.
It isn't even the acting. It is the charisma and the likability.
Yeah, hard. It's hard to do. And Macaulay Culkin nailed it, and this kid did not.
No. We get the weird partnership, bromance, and hatred between Sinbad and Arnie. And Sinbad really steps over the line of pretty much being a homegrown terrorist in this movie.
It's such a good point. And he's a mailman. He's a U.S.
He's a
mailman,
U.S. postal. So and also, how about this movie just shitting all over mailmen with in that diner scene when he's like, hey, my father didn't get me this toy. Your son could be me one day. And Arnie's like, my son's going to be a mailman. No.
Yeah, like,
and then he sees him drinking at the diner.
It's funny how we've grown so much as society, but now I look at that and I'm like, oh man, that's kind of like, that's not cancel culture, but that's like offensive. How dare you disrespect the hardworking men and women that wear shorts all year round?
It's not a bad paycheck. You get
good
tons
bennies.
Of benefits. So great bennies. And then, you know, 401k, it's a good job. And then also you mentioned, you know, like progressing since this movie, like they mention oh, your son might have to go to therapy. And that's like the worst thing in the world. Yeah. Not my son going to therapy.
It's like, please, why didn't I get put in therapy at that age? Please?
I know. So the lottery ball scene at the other mall is absolutely ridiculous too.
Like, that's how you settle things. And it's, again, I think people, if you're listening to this now and you haven't rewatched it, like, definitely rewatch it. I think we've clearly.
Oh my God. So first off, it's on Hulu and Disney Plus right now. Yep. Watch it on both at the same time.
Yeah. See which one has any extra scenes. Sometimes you catch those things. There's some weird YouTube people out there that catch that. YouTube creators. But yes, the whole theory, like, where this movie takes place and how much activity is going on Christmas Eve. Like, this isn't your Walgreens, your CVS, your 24/7 Marts. This is major operational, like you said, the malls.
So
in, like,
is this Mall of America? I think this is in Minnesota, isn't
yes,
it?
So it
is it Mall of America?
I don't, not by name, but I'm pretty sure that is the theory of what mall that is.
Which is weird because there's a lot of stuff that is by name in this movie. Like, we see a bunch of cartoon characters at this parade who are all like, you know, secondary bitches in this. Like, oh, Turbo Man's coming up, but wave to me for a little bit.
Yeah. The whole, it really, like, I think that you've really opened up my eyes to this. Like, how ridiculous that is. Again, it is Christmas Eve. It's not Christmas morning. We're not in New York City. We're in some hobunk, you know, suburb to start in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then there's this massive $1 million parade. People are treating this day as if it's the middle of summer.
They have actual astronaut tech on the guy on the fucking float.
He's flying. That's right.
He's flying. And the green screen effect of Arnie flying in the air with young Anakin Skywalker is amazing. Also, Arnie goes headfirst into a wall. He's fine.
Oh, please. He's been concussed before that. He knew. But yeah, that's a crazy part. And also, like, this movie doesn't, like, you gave us a timestamp of like 29, whatever, where it's like holiday fun and all that. Then afterwards, it really is like all what, like, Christmas as a, like, an Americanized or a, like, where it all about the gifts and the material.
Which I like about it. I love that part about it. And it completely, it veers so far left. This is the first half an hour, you know, consumerism. And what I love about Sinbad's character is, like, he's calling this out. He's the one that is speaking for us about this, and he hates it, but he's still doing it all for his son, which makes him, you know, a likable character, at least at the beginning. But then as things go on, and he loses his mind. Like, at the end, when Jake Lloyd gives him that doll and he's like, thanks, kid. The cop should have said, oh, that's going to be great currency when you're in jail for blowing up police officers.
Literally.
For trying to kidnap a child.
And they all think, that's how I'm going to get this toy.
Yes.
That's how I'm going to make my son happy tomorrow. But, like, trying to put endangering the public, kidnapping children, Amber Alerts are out, but don't worry, son, here's that toy you want.
I'm going to claim that everything in this bag is an effing bomb. That's what I'm going to do. So, actually, Rossi, you've worked in radio your entire life. Every year of your life.
And it will in the future, yes.
Yes. I have also,
when I was born, it was right
at certain points in my life, I've also been in a radio station. There is a scene at a radio station in this with Martin Mull as a DJ, and I feel like me and you might have some PTSD, not dealing with exactly this, but it's the people that want the prizes that the station is giving away.
Prize pigs.
Prize pigs. I couldn't think of what it was, but yes, it's the prize pigs.
And guess what? I'm sure guessing some of the listeners are probably that type of person. But hey, you be you. You be you.
Yes.
Never change.
But Arnie charging in there and breaking the glass door.
Like, that would happen. The glass door to these, it's probably the thickest glass, like, outside of, I don't know, like, the Pope Mobile. Like,
and then
he just shatters.
They're surprised that Martin Mull calls the cops. Yes. You broke into the fucking studio. One guy claimed to have a bomb. What is he supposed to do?
Was he supposed to be like, hey, guys, I understand. Are you guys looking for a Turbo Man? Like, do your thing. Get it. Understood. Like, what are you, insane? That whole part, like, anytime now, like, any industry you work in, I'm sure, like, people that are in medical field and they see anything with that has anything to do with the hospital or a nurse or like a doctor's office, like, you're like, that's not anything like this would happen. When I see stuff with radio things, it's like, it's so ridiculous. You're like, that's, none of this would happen. People just free flowing in, like, as if, like, the door just opens to get where the said DJs are or where the studio is. Yeah, it's crazy. And yeah, of course you call the damn cops.
The cops show up, and then this is the most cartoonish scene of, you get this giant explosion, and it cuts back to all the cops, and it's like they're Looney Tunes. Like, their hair is blown back. There is soot all over their face. Everyone's fine. No one's burned or anything.
And no one's scared. That's the thing that always makes me laugh. Not a fear in the world.
They're not scared, just stupid. There's the one cop who's like, well, I don't know, chief. I don't know what's inside that box.
Yeah, and by the way, again, that is detonated by a mailman. So this is, it's just, I don't know. That's where you're right. This movie does take that turn, but this is also why it's entertaining. This is why I'll take it over all these other films.
Once again, I find all of this entertaining, and it gets a bit more real for a second, but also super entertaining when Arnie tries to steal Ted's Turbo Man. This is the scene where he sets one of the wise men's head on fire and punts it out the window. That killed me. I was cackling.
I'm thinking about it. It's making me laugh. It's so ridiculous. And again, think about what those nativity scenes stand for. Like, and then we're just like, yeah, we're going to use this as just like
fodder. By the
way,
I think the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen at Home Goods right now, sorry to call them out, but they are selling a nativity scene, but the characters in it are Charlie Brown characters.
No.
So my question,
do we have a price?
It's like $20. But my question is like, who is that for? Because if you're buying a nativity scene, I doubt that you want Charlie Brown characters. If you want something that's Charlie Brown characters, I doubt that you want a nativity scene.
Yeah, like, and let me just, who's baby Jesus? Like, who's the baby?
I think it's just a regular baby, which is weird. If you're going to do it, sell out and just put Woodstock
Snoopy
in there.
Oh, yeah, Snoopy or Woodstock.
Yeah. Guys, go on Twitter right now. Who should be the baby Jesus? Snoopy or Woodstock? Or Linus? I don't know. Wrap it in the Linus blanket. Also, while he is stealing the Turbo Man, he punches a reindeer in the face.
This reindeer has been terrorizing him throughout the film. This is Phil Hartman's reindear, isn't it? Or like a friend of his? Or I forget.
Also named after Phil Hartman's character, Ted, so that when Arnie calls his son and he's like, where's your mom? He's like, oh, she's over petting Ted.
Because
there's tons of phone hijinks in this movie, too. Where, like, Arnie will call and, like, Ted answers the phone. Or Arnie's like, where's your mom? And he's like, well, she's over there petting Ted, you know.
And then she's actually petting Phil Hartman. It's wild.
Miscommunication.
And he gets all fired up. Mm. Very red-faced. I'll tell you, nobody goes from, like, 0 to 60 on the face scale like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But, yes, that the whole thing where that reindeer, like, terrorizes him, runs through house. Then the one time when he just has had enough.
Yes.
It's kind of like Bald Bull and Punch-Out. You have to time it right. But if you do, one punch, knock him right down.
Yeah, and you
knock
mentioned
the reindeer out.
How Arnie goes from like 0 to 60 in like the anger meter here. And I really can't think of another actor. And I'm like, do I want to say that could pull this off? But I don't think anyone else could sell this as an enjoyable movie outside of him.
Oh, that's that. I've had this conversation. I remember because, like, just for instance, like, if we're going in that genre, like, Sylvester Stallone isn't.
So that was my thought, but I don't think that he'd be as fun because he doesn't have the comedic chops. Look at him in, like, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Like, I think that this is a step below Kindergarten Cop because I find that to be, like, actually charming and funny. And I think that him bouncing off the kids in that, because the kids in that are way better than Jake Lloyd, I find that to be, like, an actual fun, charming movie. This kind of lacks a little bit of that, but it's just a fast-paced Christmas movie.
Yeah, I think the holiday part really saves this film. If this is really any other situation, I don't think we're talking about it here today. But yeah, I was, the more I think about it, like any of those other guys that were serious, then like De Niro at the time, No.
You just sold me on that. I either want De Niro or Al Pacino doing this.
Oh God, Al Pacino, no. Like, if you want to just see this movie, go right down the trash.
But... Oh, Jake Lloyd, where's your mother? Oh,
God.
I'm Turbo Man.
Now I kind of want to see it. Damn it, you sold
Now
me
I on. Want that.
Yeah, I want to wake up in a universe tomorrow, or maybe it's in the metaverse. You bought anything in the metaverse yet?
Not
bought
yet.
Land?
No, not yet. I should, though. Right. Get some of those Dogecoins and whatnot.
Yeah, just sink your money in. You're going to get it all back, I promise.
So at the parade, Ted makes a move on the mom. The mom is like, no, and she dumps the eggnog all over him, which then leads to a funny line later of, Dad, you smell like barf.
because that's what eggnog is, folks. If you don't already know, eggnog sucks.
You're anti-eggnog, right?
It's very thick.
I don't like it either. I don't like the consistency. I don't like the taste. Eggnog is a very licorice-like drink, right? Where you either love it or you hate it, correct?
I believe so. I had it for the first time a few years ago. I've had it once since, just to be like, maybe I was wrong. I had it once with the spirits in it, and then that didn't help anything. I actually felt worse about it. It's just, I don't know, it just coats your whole stomach, everything. Not for me.
So we finally get to the parade, and we've already talked about so much about this, but just the enthusiasm in the crowd of not only the children being excited about Turbo Man, it's the parents. It's the older kids. It's like teenage girls who are super jacked up about Turbo Man. And the announcers at the parade, it's usually like someone that's talking, I'll assume, into like a local access network. Like, this is not an NBC or an ABC. This is just like a local Minnesota thing, a Minnesota morning show or something. And they're having a conversation back and forth with Turbo Man.
This thing is the Beatles of the time. Like, they're treating this thing. Everybody's out. And again, Christmas Eve, think about your history on Christmas Eve, what you've done. Maybe you've gone to public gatherings. I don't know. But like, this is ridiculous. The way the amount of people, and like you said,
everyone in the city is there.
And their enthusiasm around this one action figure or this one comic book hero. I don't even really know the whole origin.
It's a hot to trot seasonal thing. Like a seasonal fad. It's going to be gone within 6 months. And everyone is swept up in this craze of Turbo Man. And the amount of attention that Turbo Man has, where he's the only one besides like the cops, because the cops also have a float. But he's the only ones besides the cops that also have a float. And like, it is this giant, majestic float. And like we said, it has like working jetpacks. And like weird propulsions, like shit that comes out of their hands, or like Sinbad can throw his hand as a punch.
Yeah, this is like the like Iron Man suit of, but like in reality somehow. And again, this is 25 years ago in reality. Like we're 2021 recording. This movie came out 25 years ago. That was some very high tech, and I'm sure the budget just for the film for this scene was through the roof.
Yeah, and just this scene. I enjoy it for what it is, but it ruins the movie.
Yeah, like for me looking back, like again, I watched it last year. Like I don't remember it like jarring my opinion of it, but the thought process of it, like everything before this scene, and I know we talked about blowing up cops and hijacking radio stations to a degree, but like all that's like within that like goofy slapstick comedy stuff. This is where it just goes like, where did this budget come from? Where is this money? And again, why is this even happening?
Are all of these people hypnotized right now? Everyone in this entire state is here.
People traveled in. They go, cancel all your plans for Christmas Eve, folks. There is a parade in downtown Minnesota, and there is going to be a freaking Turbo Man, dude, and we're going.
I also loved the final line of, I don't need the doll, Dad. I've got you. And he's like, aw, Jamie. And then it just ends.
First of all, that is so ridiculous. And I get that's like the heart of the film. Yeah. But like so ridiculous. Everything this dad has went through, all he needed to do was be there. That's all you really need, folks. Be there for your kids. Make you cry. But it's such garbage. No, you didn't just need him. You clearly wanted this thing. Earlier in the film, you were disappointed that you didn't think you were getting it. By the way, just throwing this out there. Don't know all the listeners. Not going killing kayfabe. But like, where's Santa in this? Like the Santa. Like, why is he promising his son he'll get it for him?
Arnie has a conversation with him in his bedroom being like, hey, what do you want for Christmas? Sometimes parents have to help Santa. So there was a bit of that going on.
Yeah, you're right. He danced around. But he does say, I promise you I'll get you. Or I promise you'll get that. Maybe that's the word line. In my head, it's I'll get that. Yeah. Selfish parent.
And I was going to say a second ago, like, the kid knows that Arnie can't keep this costume. And then thinking back to this, of how Arnie got this costume, he just showed up and they're like, oh, thank God you're the understudy and this fits you perfectly.
Like, just walks in.
But, like, he doesn't have a normal body.
No.
You're telling
He's
me
taller.
That there is someone else in this area that is shaped like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes, and somehow isn't there. Is not prepared. That is, you're right. That is so crazy. Because again, it's not Phil Hartman's character. It's not even Sinbad's character. We're going with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is a multi-time Mr. Olympian. We're talking about like the 0.001% of bodies look like him.
Right. Yeah, and then
he's the understudy.
Who was the sidekick that everyone hates? The stupid pink dog.
Stupid pink dog.
Because that was a good joke throughout the whole thing too. Booster. We're like, oh, we all hate you, Booster.
Again, just kick the dog down.
Just kick the dog down. But I think besides him actually wearing the costume, it is just that his family has no idea that it's him. So maybe he really never is there. Maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe he's never home and they really don't know who he is. That even if he's just wearing a little orange visor, that's it.
Like, who's that?
Who is
that's
that?
Turbo Man. Holy crap. It's like he wears sunglasses. Like, who's this guy walking in our house?
Just
yeah,
like
that, maybe you did.
The
you
least
it.
Inconspicuous person possible.
Like everybody would recognize that man. Even today, 25
he
years
later. He
has
a giant gap in his teeth, too. Like, there's everything.
His head is huge.
Everything about him. Like, the fact that he had a helmet that actually fit him is ridiculous. But everything about Arnold Schwarzenegger is just so different than everybody else.
Yeah, and we're meant to believe that, yep, it's just, there's average American middle-aged man, and now here we are, said middle-aged men, and that ain't what we look like. Sorry,
but
kids.
I will tell you what, though, Jason, you've already mentioned this. I'll say it again. I highly recommend this.
Oh, yeah. It is worth, you probably have, what's the time on this film?
90 minutes. It's a clean 90.
Smooth.
And so it's clean in the fact also, by the way, spoilers in this podcast. It's clean in the fact that it's literally the first half an hour leads up to the Santa Claus brawl. Then that next half an hour gets a bit more crazy and it leads up to the parade. And that's so like each act, there's three clean acts here that just go completely bonkers around every single turn.
Yeah, it really does. It's three chapters and each one you flip a page and you go, what? It gets wild.
So this movie deserves all the accolades. I think the 13% on Rotten Tomatoes, that's way too low.
A little harsh.
This is an enjoyable movie, especially if you are, you know, from the ages of 30 to 40, or even if you were an adult during that time buying a gift.
Mm. You get it. You feel this movie. It's very relatable in an odd way, aside from the hijinks, but like just that rush to get the toy. Like even now, like PlayStations, Xboxes, now you're probably not running into stores as much as you're waiting on timed releases of and downloading or purchasing Walmart Plus like I had to do. But that's the way it was then. Like you were running down people and like you still see these videos actually Black Friday. I don't get it. I don't get what people are dying to get so much. Like a Polaroid camera, a TV that you're going to get like 2 days later. Like it's crazy.
And like my mother would even tell me that she used to call stores ahead of time and be like, hey, do you have this toy? And then she'd have to drive like a half an hour to find that store.
There was no GPS like we have today. She was straight up pulling up the map book.
Right. She even told me that what she used to do is even if she didn't know if me and my brother wanted, say, like a Ninja Turtle toy, she would just buy it and be like, now I have it. And then if they want it, I can give it to them.
I love your mother already. That is such
a
genius.
The best.
It's like banking it. It's just she put it right in the bank.
Yeah. She
all
would,
deposits.
She'd be like, oh, I don't think they have these ones. I'll just buy them. I'll give it to them. It's fine.
I don't know if they even have any care for this, but you know what? We're going to have it just in case. Throw it in the attic.
All right, guys. So head over to at Mac and Goo on pod. I'm Mac and Goo podcast. Head over to the Mac and Goo podcast on Twitter and tell us what you think of Jingle All the Way.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.